And welcome back to GMT here on 97.7 KATX and the HPR Network. Terry Slavens joins us now with our special guest.
Evan Wren from the Abilene Reporter News.
I said his name like five times before y'all came in here, so it's not like I blanked on who you were. I know Terry's looking at me going, did you just blank on who our guest
was? What his name was?
I said no, Evan Wren from the Abilene Reporter News multiple times. I even mentioned the fact that your ugly mug somehow got on the front of the paper.
Yeah, well, there's none left in Eastland because I bought them all.
speaking of ugly mugs. Look at this one.
And that's in there all the time.
That's in there all the time.
All the time. maybe we'll get Blakeney's mug in there sometime.
No, Evan. You still want to sell papers. So.
That's right, yeah. Evan Wren, the big country sports writer for the Abilene Reporter News. Evan, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Morning. Howdy.
Nice and early for you. Had to make the trek down here in the drizzling rain.
Yeah, but I've got coffee in me, so I'm ready to go.
Did you bring a jacket? Because it's going to turn cold before the afternoon.
Is it really? I didn't hear about that.
About 10 o'clock, it's supposed to start dropping, drop to about 59 by really? 5 o'clock.
Actually, that's my kind of temperature. Yeah. So, yeah. We go to hotel rooms, I'd crank that AC down to about 60 and drive my colleagues nuts.
So. Me too, I guarantee you. Evan's here, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things as far as sports-wise, football-wise. But first of all, you did a hypothetical poll on Twitter.
And Terry loves that you did this, by the way.
So it's very scientific. Yeah. It's a very scientific poll.
And something you and I have discussed many times, you know, not on the air or on in the paper even, is if Eastland and Cisco played a football game. Well, first of all, wishing they would play a football game.
Yeah, we do.
I think we all wish that. You know, for the most part.
I think, you know, after I did read the article the other day, I couldn't believe that I used the terminology cash cow. But it would be
in relative
cash
terms,
cow.
It is a cash cow.
Yeah, it'd be a huge gate. We were laughing yesterday on the area coaches show that, you know, at the referees meetings, when they assign referees, there'd be people volunteering to come to do an Eastland Cisco game because of the gate.
Absolutely.
So, right now, in your hypothetical poll, it is what?
It's a slight edge for Cisco. I think it was 95-89 the last time I checked. So, neck and neck.
And basically what it was is you just posted, what was it, retweet if for Cisco?
Yeah, the favorite for Eastland.
For Eastland.
Yeah.
And talking with you the other night via text message, you said you was a little surprised. You didn't think you had that many followers in Eastland, but... a local website, EastlandSportsPage.com, reposted it. So yeah. You probably got a lot of new followers in Eastland because of that.
Yeah, well, actually, the little polls that I put up are a good way to get new followers. I don't know. It's just a good way to promote the product that we have and to build interest in area high school football. So that's why I do it. I try to post polls for all the games. And then I got to thinking about that hypothetical matchup, and I just had to post it just to see.
See what would happen.
Because I think a lot of people like to see it.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people would like to see it. I'm going to stay out of the pick 'em category because I serve both communities, but you don't, and you get nasty emails all the time. So
you don't want people showing up with torches and clubs at your front door.
That's right. Right? If we put them on the field. What do you see happening?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Put him on the spot right there, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, I didn't have enough coffee to answer that. Well, I'll answer it. Actually, if they did play.
These are the views of Evan.
These are strictly my views. I would give Cisco a slight edge because of their defense. I think they tackle better in the open field than Eastland does this year. And that's not indicative of the programs year to year, but I do think that this year Cisco has an edge defensively. I think offensively it's a push. And some people might disagree with that because Eastland scores more points, but Cisco plays at a slower tempo. But
so
if you look at it...
Not as many possessions, possibly.
Yeah, not as many possessions, but Cisco scores at the same clip, at roughly the same percentage per possession. So I think it's a push offensively, but I think you have to give the edge defensively to Cisco. And I would, I mean, if they were to play this year, I would give them the edge.
And, you know, we've seen Eastland all year long, and we have not, I would say, have not played against a really good defense. To this point in the season, someone that tackles well in the open field.
Well, I think Eastland's offense has a way of making you look bad So, but that might be the case.
We
granted, Grandview missed a lot of tackles the night that we were out there for that game. But a team that can tackle them in space, I don't think that they have faced, and I think that Cisco would be one that could do it and create a few turnovers possibly.
Right.
In the meantime, I think there'd be a high-scoring game and a great game.
And a big crowd.
And a humongous crowd.
And probably would be the big country game of the week if that happened.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of big country games of the week, Grandview, Eason was your pick, and the weeks prior to that, you'd pretty much been blown out.
Absolutely. It's been the big country stinker of the week this year. I've seen one. Well, actually, I've seen two good games this year. The Eastland-Grandview game was a classic, an absolute classic. And the game that Coleman and Bangs played a couple of weeks ago was actually a very good game. It was a defensive game. But I've had a couple of good ones. And this week I'm hoping to have a good one down in Brownwood. Liberty Hill-Brownwood should be a good one.
And, of course, starting out that Grandview game, I looked at you and said, man, you've
done it again. That got a year.
21 to nothing. It was a big country game. But it turned out good.
Yeah, that was an absolute classic. I've never seen anything like it. It was a sloppy game in many respects. But, wow, for the spectators, a classic.
Very much so. And, you know, I like to see good close ball games, but the general population likes to see scoring. I mean, they like to see points. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to see points, come watch the Eastland Mavericks.
Yeah. You'll get it.
You're going to get lots of points put on the board. Let's talk a little bit about District 4 2A Division 2. Cisco takes on Coleman this week, and off the air you and I were discussing that, you know, we have a lot of football left to be played, but on paper and looking at how things have played out coming into this season, early on we might have thought Colorado City would be the one that Cisco had to beat for the district title. It's looking like Coleman, this game coming up here, is probably it, and Cisco probably has a substantial edge in this one.
I would say that Cisco's got a very big edge in that one and over the entire district. I think Cisco will run the table, and really I think their main concern is just getting through healthy, you know, getting ready for the postseason. I think that they are head and shoulders above the rest of the district, which surprisingly, and with a couple of programs overall, I think is down.
Right.
You know, maybe a little further than we thought they would be.
District 4, 2A Division 1, of course, Eastland came into it as the favorite, still is the favorite. But Comanche has turned its program around and looks to be the
biggest threat.
Biggest threat to the Mavericks.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that because of the tempo that they play. I think Eastland is the best, but I think the biggest threat to them would be Comanche because of the tempo. Clyde is undefeated in district, but they're not going to slow the tempo down, which I think works to Eastland's advantage. Clyde's going to come and throw the ball all over the place and go no huddle. Comanche's going to try to, you know, and they're going to try to pound you. They're going to get in that wing tee and try to pound you. So if you give them a couple of turnovers and give them an edge early, all of a sudden you're facing a tough game. So they are dangerous.
They're going to try to limit Eastland's possessions with the football.
Yes.
By keeping control of the clock.
Yes.
So Eastland wins the toss at Comanche. Coach Hewlett takes the ball and tries to score first.
I would. I would.
The rest of the district, Dublin, your game of the week last week, a little surprised at the margin of victory, but unbeknownst to me, saying four times in the red zone.
It could have been closer. I mean, they had Dublin had four opportunities to score inside the red zone and two inside the five-yard line and missed out every time because they couldn't run the football. So, I mean, even if they had scored on all four of those possessions, they still would have lost the game by three, you know, by three scores.
Right.
It could have been, but, I mean, 60-40 looks a lot better than 61-14.
Right.
I think Dublin is better than what that score would indicate. They just need to be able to run the ball, find a way to. Because right now in the red zone, I think that Comanche exposed a weakness.
Right. And looking at District 4-2A Division 1 a little bit, you look at the standings, you have Breckenridge, who's been a perennial playoff team since dropping to 2A. They're at 0-3. You have Merkel, who's been a perennial playoff team for the last several years. They're at 0-3.
What a loss Baylor Mullins was for Merkel.
Wow, yeah, unbelievable.
Huge.
Big loss. And then you have Jim Ned sitting at 0-2.
I have a feeling Jim Ned's going to sneak up on somebody. That's a dangerous team, and you've seen them.
21-20 at half.
Yeah, that's a dangerous team. They can score. If they could find a way to stop people, they'd really be a threat.
So, Jim Ned, Breckenridge this week. Must win for Breckenridge, must win for Jim Ned, probably.
Yeah, it is a must win for both teams, I mean, especially for Breck, who's 0-3 in league play. Yeah. They have to win this one.
To hopefully have a shot. Keep a light burning at the playoffs.
Yeah.
Merkel probably maybe one of the odd teams out. I think that the loss of Baylor Mullins, along with some other talent that graduated last year, just haven't been able to put it together this year.
They're young. They're big, but they're young. And they're right now they're making some mental mistakes. They're having problems with turnovers. I think you'll see the Merkel of old start emerging next year, the year after. But right now they're young.
Very young. Yeah, let's look at some other teams around the area. Evan, I know you haven't seen Albany as of yet, but Albany clearly the favorite to win that district. Hamlin probably their biggest threat. That comes in Week 10, I believe.
I think Albany is going to win the region right now, unless if they can't get past Munster. I think there's another threat in Ira Ann out there. The thing that worries me about Albany is that they have not been tested, and they haven't been pushed. I think it's important to get pushed by somebody because you're going to get pushed in postseason, and that can end up hurting you. So
that's something that we discussed yesterday, is that you can schedule some tougher opponents during non-district, but then you go 5 or 6 weeks of district play where you're not battle-tested.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you jump into the playoffs, and round one you're probably still safe. Round two gets a little tougher, then round three all of a sudden you're looking at another team that is, 10-2, 11-1.
They're going to push into the fourth quarter, maybe make you come back and win a ball game. And Albany has not really been put into that position, and I think that can be a disadvantage. It certainly didn't hurt Monday last year. That argument could have been made for Monday, but it didn't hurt them. So, and actually also working in Albany's favor is this year they don't have that geographical disadvantage of being stuck with a Monday, which was just a monstrous team for Class 1A last year. That team is now in rebuilding mode. So, the door's open, basically, for them.
And after Albany, you have Hamlin. Then positions 3 and 4, probably looking at across Plains, picking up one of those spots.
Or Roby. Yeah. Roby, Cross Plains, I would think.
And we talked about Ranger Gorman. They played each other this past week. Overtime game. Thrilling game to go to.
Yeah, that was a tough one for Ranger.
Coach Ramsey, so, yes.
That was... I don't know how much they want us to go into detail about one, but that was tough.
Yeah, that was a tough outing there. Let's talk about Class 3A, Graham Steers.
Graham Steers, yeah.
Stephenville.
Yeah, they're the real deal. I think they may go to Arlington. I think they're a top five team. I think Stephenville is still way up there, and I think Brownwood's underrated. I think Brownwood is pretty good. Wiley is Wiley. And Big Spring, well, I can't see Wiley as Wiley because they're having problems throwing the football consistently,
right?
Which they normally had that short passing game going. They've been a little inconsistent there. Big Spring is another one that I like.
Of course, Sweetwater, an opponent for both Breckenridge and Eastland during non-district play, going to have to get some help or help themselves to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, the loss at Snyder hurt them. I think Sweetwater is almost like the 3A equivalent of this year's Jim Ned team. They can score on anybody, but they're having problems stopping people also. So, and right now, the loss at Snyder puts them at a disadvantage for that fourth spot in district, because I think you have to look at Big Spring, Monahans, Wiley as the top three, and then the battles for that fourth spot. They've lost... to Snyder, so they're at a disadvantage. They have to sneak up on somebody. They're in that position.
And maybe get some help from somebody else down the road.
Yeah, that never hurts.
That never hurts, never hurts. Dropping back into Class 1A, Anson. Anson and Hamlin started the season off in Week 0 when Anson had a convincing win over Hamlin.
Yeah.
They're rolling.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, that's really largely untested. I think, actually, the only test they really had was at Coleman. when they had some, they had a couple of turnovers inside the 10-yard line, and Coleman pushed them. But I think that you're going to see Anson undefeated going into that Stanford game in Week 10, just like we saw last year.
Stanford as good as they were last year?
I don't think so, but that they're very good. And I completely discount the loss to Cisco, because I think Cisco would do to Stanford, or do to any other Class 1A team, what they did to Stanford. And I mean any other Class 1A team.
We're sort of bouncing around here a little bit, but going back to Cisco, something that they do that they haven't done a whole lot of in the past is they have a passing game.
Yeah, they don't throw the ball very often. I think they throw maybe 6 or 7 times a game, but they generally complete 5 of 6.
And they don't have to throw very often.
They don't have
to
throw very often.
They don't play from behind.
And when they do throw, it's usually for big chunks of yardage, often for touchdowns. Colton Kent he might be the most efficient quarterback that we've got in the big country this year. I'm not saying he's the best, but he might be the most efficient. He is very impressive.
Lee Lewis yesterday had made a statement about the stats of Colton Kent when it comes to the completions.
90% completion.
Yeah,
rate.
90% completion rating for over 800 yards.
He's having an incredible year. Now, he's not asked to throw 30 times a game. And mostly when he throws, it's off to play action. You have teams that are loading the box, putting eight or nine guys in the box, which you have to do to even have a shot at stopping the Cisco running game. But when they come off play action, it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal. Yeah, often it is, and he's accurate.
Well, and that's something that in Coach West's career there, he's had some good quarterbacks that could throw the ball, but they didn't throw much. Colton Kent may be the best passing quarterback that he's had during his tenure.
He's the best one that I've seen. Maybe going back to the West kid, say 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
And you've been covering the big country for 6 years, is that right?
Since 2006.
So you're in your seventh season, probably.
I'm in my eighth. Can you believe it?
Man.
You believe that? I can't believe it.
That's time flies when you're having fun.
And it is fun. It really is. It's a blast.
Beginning about the 1st of August through about the end of April, don't get to see much of your family?
No, I don't, actually. It's through football, I'm doing something every day. Right. Every day. And I operate generally, as you can tell from my looks in my eyes, I don't get a whole lot of sleep. You know, I generally operate about, I'd say, 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I'm 3 or 4 hours of sleep in about 7 days a week.
Wow.
So that's doing something every day.
And 75 schools in your charge that you cover?
Yeah.
And keep up with?
Yes. And 75 of them.
That's a lot of information to store.
Yes, it is. And that's why I'm doing something every day.
All right.
So, I mean, it's a humongous undertaking.
Mm-hmm. Goldthwait. Are they considered in your coverage area?
Yes, they're on the far east edge of what we cover.
And here's a team that at one point was 0-4 after a loss to Eastland.
Yes,
and was still ranked in the top 20 by some publications, deservingly so, because they play a brutal non-district schedule.
Yeah, well, they played Mason, they played McGregor, they played Eastland, and actually they gave Eastland a respectable game.
Yes, they did.
You know.
And now they got the win against March, right?
They beat March.
Yeah.
Yes, and they beat Heiko, who was undefeated going into last week.
That's right.
So, I mean, this is a team that's not going to be fun to play in postseason, and they will get in postseason.
All right, Evan, we're down to our last 30 seconds here on Good Morning Texas. Appreciate very much all you do for all the schools around. Appreciate you coming out and make a special trip to join us here on Good Morning Texas.
I had fun. Appreciate it.
We might have to wait till we get closer to playoff time and hook it up again and do a little playoff talk.
Well, I'm sure we'll have some opportunities. I think Eastland will go quite a ways, and they're on a collision course with that Wall team. So
again,
that's going to happen.
That's right.
That interview was heard on 97.7 KATX. You can listen online at katxradio.com or txol.net.